Hello, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warpel, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems and host of the show. Through a partnership with Trane, Chicago's Vernon Hills Park District has increased its energy savings 5% with the installation of a new solar system at its maintenance facility, reaching a total reduction of 20%. The district secured the largest amount of government funding available to them through the Illinois Adjustable Block Program, which covered 40% of the solar project's costs. In this episode, we talk with James Kim, Superintendent of Parks at Vernon Hills Park District, who explains how the project came to fruition, as well as how and why others should consider such an endeavor.
Thank you, Herb. I'm James Kim. I'm the Park Superintendent with the Vernon Hills Park District. I've been with the Vernon Hills Park District up in Lake County, Illinois, just north of Chicago, for about 11 years now in many capacities. I actually started out as the facility foreman for several years, working inside the facilities, MEP systems, and our aquatic pool. I've been the department head here for 5 years now. I oversee all the maintenance-related items and construction projects. Prior to me being up here, I was just a grunt in Morton Grove Park District doing ball field work, trees, grass cutting, picking trash was the biggest thing, really. I worked there for about 10 years, so. And I met my wife at work, which was always a good thing.
That's exciting. James, tell us a little bit more about Vernon Hills Park District, how many buildings the district encompasses, the number of parks, et cetera.
So we serve the residents of Vernon Hills, which is about 26,000 people. We have two larger recreation facilities. One is our Dolores Sullivan Community Center, which is named after one of the founding people for the Vernon Hills Park District. It's a 55,000 square foot community center with gyms, a preschool wing, and our administrative and recreation offices. Next to the Sullivan Center is also Sullivan's vision of having a aquatic center. It started out as just one pool, but in 2001, we added a second pool and a tube slide that runs into a 600-foot lazy river and then two body slides. That's about another 5 acres of property. And then in 2013, we actually did purchase Central Lake YMCA. They were running it as a fitness facility and childcare. We did not change the building, and so we've been running it since 2013 as a fitness and childcare. And last, we have our maintenance facility, in which this solar array project is on top of, built in 2014. It's a 13,000 square foot maintenance facility. It houses some staff, our park staff, and our park maintenance equipment. We try to keep as much as we can inside as much as possible. And due to some cost prohibits, we had to run everything on electric. So the entire building is all electric. There's no natural gas. We do have water, but our heaters are all electric, water heaters, our compressors, everything. So really having a solar array on our roof was desired.
James, this solar array is obviously what's perhaps most exciting to the engineers tuning into this. Can you take us through the early stages of that project and share how and why you ended up with a solar array on top of that maintenance facility?
Oh, yeah, of course. I took some interest personally back in, 2017, when there was legislation in our Illinois House to really boost our solar industry in Illinois. In 2018, it was announced that there would be some funds set aside for solar projects. At first, it was solar farms, literally on some Illinois farms, trying to produce for their local counties or whatnot, and it worked really well. In 2018, they announced a block for community and some other smaller facility programs. So in 2018, early, I approached our park board and looked at the feasibility of putting a solar array system on our maintenance facility and two of our other facilities, the Lakeview Center and our Sullivan Center. That summer, I really did my due diligence. I looked at the bill, I looked at the possibilities, and we fit in perfectly. I chose three vendors. They had some good portfolios. One was a existing solar panel installer for Chicagoland area, and two others had done some incentive work, mainly boilers and chillers for public schools. So they came to a board meeting, they did their presentations, and after several hours of discussion after the board meeting, our board chose Train, Ingersoll Rand, as the vendor to help us get there, or at least explore what it would take to get there.
Right. Now, I know funding, especially for park districts, is pretty tight. This adjustable block grant program that you guys signed on to helped save you about 40% on your energy savings. Tell us about that and how that was so beneficial. I'm sure this program probably wouldn't exist without that funding, right?
Yes. I believe that 40% incentive is very helpful to everybody. For us, it was helpful for Train to get them off and running so that they didn't have to finance everything completely up front. So the 40% was good for them initially to get, you know, all the administrative work in place, staff time, engineers, getting the panels ordered, and then going on getting a vendor to install them, having electricians, and having all the equipment. The 40% though actually helped us in the end, because now we only had to finance 60% of the remaining project instead of entire 100%. And so it was a nice financial gain for everyone. The adjustable block program itself was segregated, if you will, into different groups, which each one had different deadlines. So it was also nice to have it organized in a way that you didn't have thousands of projects all at once trying to lobby and fight for funding when it was broken up into three categories with three different deadlines. And so Train really helped us get into that community solar project deadline back in January 31st of 19. And here we are.
I know the district also secured a solar power purchase agreement, or a PPA, to help finance the remaining project costs. Can you share how this agreement works and why it made sense for Vernon Hills?
Yes, I can certainly share some of the superficial language, if you will, to the agreement. So just to give a background, we do not own the solar panels on our roof. Essentially, we're allowing the solar panels to exist on our roof for our benefit, yes. But we do have to pay for the electricity that's produced through a third party. We do pay a per kilowatt hour price, similar to any other electrical utility company. And then if we overproduce, we do receive a credit that's valid for, I believe, 6 months that we can utilize. But for the next 3 months, we are projecting to overproduce past the our needs. The PPA made sense for us to finance this project up front was really not feasible. And I believe that everyone in this in that group in our block could say the same. If it wasn't for the PPA, I bet you there wouldn't be as many programs. And the solar industry in our area and Chicagoland area may not be as thriving as it is right now.
I know you mentioned that the facility runs solely on electric power, and we all know that Chicago is not the sunniest location on the planet. Maybe one of the windiest, but not the sunniest. What happens when the sun is not shining? Is there an energy storage component to this project?
We opted not to have an energy storage on site due to some unstable concerns for the batteries. So what we have done instead is there is an inverter that feeds the electricity back into our utility, which is Commonwealth Edison. and we receive a credit on our bill, which is nice. And I believe that's, again, 6 months it expires, which I'm okay with. It's hard to track that kind of stuff, and they want you to use it right away. When there is a cloudy day, the inverter goes back to the ComEd electrical utility, and we're just back on regular electrical utilities. Even when it's really cloudy outside, there's still some solar energy being produced. It's very minimal, but you know, every little bit helps.
And I'm assuming that's the case in the schedule with the winter as well.
Yes, for the winter months for Chicagoland air, it's more like November to early April. Yes, we don't produce as much. I will say this past April, though, on April 2nd, I believe, we were at 95% off of solar and only 5% off the electrical grid on that day particularly. It was sunny. We didn't have the air conditioning running. We didn't have heaters running in our building. There were no lights on because it just was sunny outside. So it was optimal conditions for our facility on that day.
Great. You mentioned that Trainer Ingersoll Rand was a vested partner in this project. Can you help share how that partnership has played out and how it continues to play out to this day?
They organize a solar monitoring program through Solar Edge. And you just asked how they continue to. That is one of the, I would say, long-lasting great things that they've done for us, is I can monitor the solar panels live. I can tell you right now, I'm looking at it, we're producing 92 kilowatts per hour right now. So I think that's one of the greatest things that they've done for us, besides getting us the solar panels, is the live feed and the data that it's collected. Yeah.
So the project has truly been a win-win-win, as the district is operating on cleaner energy and lowering its carbon footprint, as well as saving operational costs. Additionally, as a result, the district's taxpayers are saving money as well. How's the response been from those in and around the Park District?
When you work in the public view, I would say this project had very little chatter, quote unquote. We had put it on Facebook, it was a social media. We had an Earth Day event back in 2019, and we had schematic design put up, and people were interested, but really it was trying to get the word out that this exists and this can work. I think that's the biggest point we were trying to make with the public. To be quite honest, no news is good news. I know that sounds terrible, but it kind of is. If I don't hear complaints, I think we're doing a good job. Internally, though, a lot of our staff, because I do post our results, especially from last November, which was a good month for solar for some reason, it really showed that even a maintenance facility like this that runs on electric, we can come pretty close to zero and actually feed back into the grid. I'm really excited for this summer and what savings we can bring. But internally, staff have asked me, like, how do you get part of this program? Is there a residential one? And I've told them there might be. Just pay attention, do some due diligence, do some research, and really just contact your local rep, House of Reps and senators locally, so you can get your voice heard.
Obviously, the data is still raw, but like you said, you are collecting live data. Do you happen to have any data to share? Like, do you know how much energy perhaps you would have saved by using this setup rather than just a traditional energy setup?
Yes, I'm looking at the environmental benefits. CO2 emissions saved is roughly 120,000 pounds so far since last October 13th when it was put on live. We've planted equivalent to 900 trees. And so that's a huge thing, that we're not degrading the earth so much as we're trying to just slow it down, I guess. We're not doing our part to make it worse. Even right now, I can tell you for this month, the last 2 days, we've produced 1.2 million kilowatts or megawatts, excuse me. And so that live data really helps, especially with public comments, and that we can put that out to the public and really share that information with other people. I will say, I think everyone listening should hear this. Unfortunately, the utility market did not inflate like we hoped it would because of the pandemic. I do know there was some federal language that kept utilities from inflating their costs because people were in need and they couldn't work and they needed electricity, water, gas, and whatnot. And so we are hoping to save more on associated fees because of rates. So like distribution rates, transmission rates that are based on how much you use. But moving forward, we're hoping that the utility markets go back to what they usually do and inflate 4 to 5 to 7% each year. And that eventually we'll be saving significant money in the next couple of years.
James, your park's obviously leading by example. Is this a model that you think other parks around the nation should consider?
Yes, I think other parks, not just much, but other municipalities, villages, when you look at like a village hall and you're putting a new roof on, maybe you should explore putting on solar. Or if you live in like Iowa and you have the power putting up wind turbines, and if there's incentive programs, I think that's something that should be highly considered. Mandated, I don't know if that's the right word, but highly considered is probably a better term. But yes, I do believe that other municipal buildings in general should look into solar or renewable energies in general.
Well, James, we've covered quite a bit on this interview so far, but while we have you on the line, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I really want to thank Aaron Raftery and Bill Belair over at Train for really heading this for us and spending a lot of time. I think it really was beneficial for Train to have a separate division to help work on this, Train Technologies. It even has a different logo. I think it really helped streamline all the questions and answers, the administrative paperwork, and really gave a camaraderie, if you will, like their coworkers, not a contractor. So that's something I think people should really be aware of when they're looking to do this kind of project. Do your due diligence. Really understand the lingo. Don't try to go by the seat of your pants, because there will be residents, there will be people, there will be other in the industry that will question everything. And then if you don't have the right answers or you know what you're doing, it may go down the toilet literally fast. And then lastly, if you're really interested, please contact your state, local, state, federal representatives and really make your voice be heard. It's the only way to make some change. It's people like, I'm going to say me, back in 2015, who signed, not a waiver, but a petition to have some of these programs in place. So it starts small, but it gets really big.
Well, James, we're excited to continue to track the future of your park and to celebrate the energy savings that you guys are achieving there. Again, we thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your insight into this project, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you very much, Urban. Thank you for inviting me to this.